If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
TheRightStuff.biz.
Should we just paste like a GIF of like Alex's head floating above us at this point? Look at this. Mm-hmm. What is this? Yeah,
this is the good stuff. The right stuff.
I can't believe I missed episode 1176. Could make a single vintage compressor joke that no one would get but me and like two people. Very disappointed about that.
It's funny because I actually said at the beginning of 1177, but not 1176, that I'm sure there's some audio component that can be mentioned with 1177. So I was one off.
1176.
Because I remembered you saying something about that.
Yeah, the 1176.
But I couldn't remember what it was, and I was like, whatever.
I have several NFTs. Everybody has their own emulation, software emulation of an 1176. It's an industry standard since the 70s, I guess. I don't know. So, hello, it's the Daily Show. You can go to the paywall page and you can use actual credit cards now. You don't have to use Odyssey anymore for now. You can go to Animal Pill and you can use a code TRS5 in lowercase to get 5% off. I don't know what else.
They've
you can
got
go
a
to
Cerulean
Bitstore or my CD. They have a new book. Yes,
like
they
some
have
kind of bookstore.
Bookstore?
Like some kind of bookstore.
A Nazi bookstore.
Like some kind of book, but they got a new book of Hitler speeches.
Hey, there you go.
The Voices of Triumph, isn't that what it's called? Voices of Triumph, Hitler at Nuremberg, something like that.
Yeah, I think I saw the ad. It's an advert somewhere. Somewhere out there.
Yeah, I saw that going around.
That's good.
Lots
stuff.
Of Hitler stuff going on Twitter over the weekend. People were mad. Like, it's very interesting. Hitler is very mainstream on Twitter now.
Yes.
Very mainstream. To the point, like, and everyone is like praising it. And I remember
praise him,
like,
yes, praise
going
him.
Back, going back to like, say, you know, 2017 era, 2018, when the alt-right was in, and then Charlottesville happened, and then the CathNet thing started like taking off, and people started started down the road of like the Catholic thing, not the white thing, and then we had this whole group of people that had been on board the Trump thing and stuff, then suddenly being like, no, I'm Catholic and race is cringe, Hitler's cringe, Nazi is cringe, like we should all do like Christ is King stuff. But those people have like defaulted their way back to like loving Hitler, even though they still try and do like that Christian stuff. Like they're all out there just like, LOL, Hitler is great now too. So I don't know. It's very funny. Like the whole Wignat thing and all that shit, like a lot of those people are now just also Wignats.
Yeah, but they still call people Wignats. I've seen that.
Which is funny because they are just Wignats. But the funniest thing is they also get called Wignats now by people who genuinely are now just
The American right continues to be completely useless. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are but those are just generally my thoughts. Mostly.
Yeah, well.
People need to, I think I have a little gay shit I could say, because I was following, I gotta admit, like I wasn't feeling well when you talked about the NPR lady on the show. I don't know the who's the dude that got suspended, Uri Berliner.
He's a Jew.
Okay, because I kept reading and kept seeing like stuff about this controversy about this what's her name, Katie Marr, something like that.
Katherine Marr.
You know, I've been seeing like
The thing is, like, she's not anti-Israel. This is
the
point
I know that. But I'm not talking about that now. I'm going in the perspective of the American right, in which Israel is either doesn't exist or is just a thing we support because we love it so much because Christianity and Jews or something. Schofield Bibleism. So my feed was flooded with Rufo flipping out. He was posting exclusives of shit that this woman said Yeah. You know, it's, and it's all like, it's all totally like soulless plumb line liberal signaling. Yeah. I'm like, who do you expect is going to run NPR, sir? She's the most qualified person they've got. She's perfect. What I don't like, what premise are you arguing from? And it's like, it's the same premise that the right is always arguing from. I'm crying about this. Notice me crying and give me my way because I'm crying. Because I'm going to cry my way to political victory and power. It's like, no, you're not. No one cares when you cry. And it's, well, the most dangerous thing that they did was they gave Rufo, they made Rufo think that he removed Gay.
Yes, from, yes.
It's like, no, you didn't do that. They wanted her gone. They used you and your little plagiarism. Now he thinks he can cancel people that are for being like liberal. It's like, you can't.
He doesn't. I mean,
it's like, you are not.
Did one response to him on this whole thing. I said, Chris, you're not going to get her job. She supports Israel. Period.
I was going on the other way.
Like, but also,
I was going the other way. Like, who is going to run NPR? That is not a conservative voice in media. You are not going to have Republicans running it. You are not even going to get. You're not even going to get an even like fair and balanced. Like, no, that is a liberal elitist institution. Yes, it's publicly funded, and you can suck it because you are a conservative, and you can't get them to stop funding things you hate. You were not consulted. The conservative movement is no longer consulted on how the state runs. They don't care what you have to say. You have no power. You have a 2-seat majority in the House, and you're trying to oust your speaker again, which is going to bring you down to what? A 1-speaker? You are pointless. Your entire movement is there to lose. You're not going to remove the lady. And who fucking cares if you remove this lady from NPR? Is she suddenly going to be like, is the NPR going to be going to replace
Rush
Limbaugh?
But it's worse than that, though. Hold on. It's worse than that. Because the only reason that Rufo is even on that is because he was prompted by yet another Jew. Because Uri Berliner, the whole thing came to light. Like, no one mentioned Catherine Marr. No one cared. Catherine Marr was granted the NPR CEO job in on January 24th was the day she was hired. So well after.
And she's
October
doing
7th,
a great job.
Well into
NPR
the
is okay, doing okay. wonderfully. No, I'm just saying, like, okay. You don't understand. Like, you don't get to set the standard for what's good and bad. They do. NPR is doing great. From their perspective, she's perfect. Why would they fire her?
What if I cry about it? What if I cry
nothing.
About it?
Nothing. If you cry about it, you make an ass of yourself, and you just make me mad. Like, I can't
there's
just, like.
There's another point to it, though.
Okay.
Which is that Rufo's only activated when a Jew in an institution says something. Like, Uri Berliner, like, not like he doesn't have agency of his own. Like, he wouldn't have picked out Catherine Marr. He didn't do any – he wouldn't have been like, oh, they've got a new CEO. Let me look into it.
Okay,
he had
I
to wait
you.
For a Jew inside NPR to make a complaint that, like, he didn't like how they were covering Gaza, which, look, Catherine Marr would not have been hired in January.
Right.
If she wasn't going to be right. there to kind of institute right. the kind of changes that Jews want, which are getting done, they just weren't getting done fast enough for Uri Berliner. And Uri Berliner made a fucking error, and we actually discussed this on our show, in that he started linking his complaints to Gaza.
Right.
He actually made the mistake of trying to leverage Rufo. That's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do that, what he did is he started talking about Hunter Biden dick pics and COVID stuff. And I'm like, you would have been smarter.
Which is all stuff, again, that's
Catherine
all stuff.
Marr.
They don't listen to you. They don't care. They don't. No one
well,
asked you.
As soon you. As you do that, as soon as you talk about that, liberals and most Jews like tune out. So what you should have done, Uri Berliner, instead of making a public thing and appealing to these conservative sentiments on top of your real complaint, which is mm-hmm. Gaza, because he never complained about those things before. He perfectly fine with NPR just ignoring that dumb shit. Before, you should have called Catherine Marr into a meeting and said, look, we need to sort of like gradually shift our narrative and our coverage of Gaza
okay.
so that it's more in line with what Jews want rather than going making a public stink, linking Gaza to dick pics and COVID-tard stuff, which is a guarantee that you're only going to entrench the people.
Those issues are guaranteed losers every time. Those are guaranteed losers every time. That's what so much of the right doesn't understand. Like you're not. They're not censoring that stuff because you're onto something. They're censoring because you're like you're handing them like the keys to censor because you're being retarded when you talk about Hunter Biden dick pics and COVID stuff like that. Those are guaranteed losers. You're handing them victory. Those are not big things that nobody's heard about. That you need to like blow the roof off of. They just don't matter.
So
there's stupid traps
for you to fall into. There's another element. There's even more, though, because there is right now in academia. So let me give an example. So last night, I think it was last night, Jamie and I were sitting around, and I don't know how it came up, but she asks, like, this, trust me, this is relevant. She asks, like, the word tomboy, somehow it was a joke, the word tomboy comes up, right? I don't know how it came up. But she's like, well, where did that word even come from? Like, and I was like, I don't know. So I Googled it, and it comes from, there's a history of it. But the funny thing is, when you search, like, origin of the word tomboy, one of the first article you get is something called, like, the racist origins of, like, the parades of the American tomboy by a woman named, like, some Jewish woman. I forget her name. If I look at my Twitter, I can find it. Whatever. It's Lisa something something. Lisa Davis. Lisa Selin Davis is her name. So she's a Jew. And I was like, I looked at her. I was like, guarantee this is a Jew. So I look at her, and I look at her current. She's a huge, massive, anti-white, like, feminist, libtard Jew. So I go, and I look at her Twitter. She's right now crying about the protests at Columbia University. She's crying about the unequal coverage about anti-Semitism in academia, all the same shit that Uri Berliner was talking about. She even had something talking about Uri Berliner, but people were like, he's right about the Gaza thing, but this other shit that he's talking about. So he fucked up. Like, yeah. He has all of the, like, there is a place for the debate amongst Jews that are running these institutions that are trying to shift this narrative, that are trying their best. There's a conservatives just aren't part of this struggle.
No.
And like trying to include them is stupid because you there's it's no like basically like marking a red X, like a scarlet letter on your chest. Like you're just a whore and no one wants anything to do with you now. Like you cannot bring in Kopitar, Hunter Biden, dick pics when you're talking about like what the serious people are, how they're going to change their story. Now, so that I think is most interesting. So the Uri Berliner thing, I'm not sure like what the point is, unless the point is just to keep the anti-woke people on the side of Israel for like political support or something like that. Additionally, the funny thing is, you mentioned the Congress thing.
Yeah.
Mike Johnson is not impeached, and the House just passed a funding bill for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan with no money for border security.
Right, and then the rallying cry is we need to take him out as speaker. We need to elect a new speaker. I was like, yeah, why? So the next speaker you're going to elect is going to make an equivalent fucking betrayal. Like, this is what it's for. They don't care about you.
Right.
You're there to provide that party with the votes it needs to stay relevant so that they can do this stuff. Like, that's where you are.
That's
no one
Rufo
fucking asked you.
That's why
like,
Berliner
Rufo
does what he does, etc.
Like,
yeah.
Rufo, if you get Mar kicked out, if you get her fired, like who do you think is going to replace her? Matt Gaetz? Alex Jones? No, they're going to get they'll get another liberal that maybe is a little less like cringe on their Twitter feed. You're going to get someone who believes the same stuff. You're going to get another apparatus. You're going to get another elitist. Like, you're going to get another awful, which just means woman
they're
out of your league.
They're just turning it into diversity, equity in Israel. Like, that's the transition that Jews are managing right now. Rufo is just like a bit player in this.
I'll go one better. They're not managing that. They're managing like keeping this like. Well, I guess that is true. But basically,
my opinion is that there's what Jews are doing right now is sort of a long term institutional shift of like freezing
they're
out
trying,
pro-Palestine
they're trying,
stuff. And
they're trying
like
to manage
this unprincipled exception across the board.
Right, they're trying to manage the exception to like colonialist racism for Jews. They don't want like anybody who's too principled on that. They're going to just get rid of. But they're not going to replace him with like a rock ribbed fucking conservative.
Well,
like Rufo, Rufo acts as if there's a conservative candidate to run NPR, and barring that. Like, there's a road to defunding NPR from your tax. As if, like, you just had, you like, your House Speaker just passed this aid bill for Taiwan, Israel, and Ukraine, right? Like, what about, like, can we defund that? Like, what the fuck? Who cares what funding NPR gets from your tax dollars when that's on the table?
Well,
when these other issues are on the table? Like, that is the most meaning. Like, and that's what conservatives do. Like, oh, this is against my principle, and this is a fight I can go. It's like, and you're still going to lose that. I've been hearing about NPR funding and PBS funding for fucking 30 years. It was irrelevant when Bob Dole talked about it. It's irrelevant now. And you can't even take a bite out of it. Like, you have never gotten, like, conservative movement has never gotten anywhere near a whiff of success in defunding NPR or PBS. Never. It just goes on because it's not important and they don't care. because it just goes along with like
conservative voice.
It's just conservatives being like
NPR.
It's conservatives like it's once again like we talk about it in prep. It's like there's trash on the side of the road. Well, don't pick it up because I don't want to pay for it with my taxes. That I mean, that's the same kind of thing. It's like, can we stop with the garbage? NPR is like, and NPR is like, no, we're going to keep doing this garbage.
But the other thing about NPR, it's also significantly funded by private donations from wealthy people. Like that's
I don't care about
any
of that. I don't care about that. That goes out. That doesn't. No. I don't care about any of that. It's publicly funded and it's staying that way. That's what you tell a conservative. You cannot stop it. They don't need any. They don't need any ifs, ands, or buts or outs. Like you have to understand, you're a dead movement that's never going to have power. You're out. And you're out because you're cowardly and you're race traitors and you're bitches. That's why you're out. They don't need you. They need you to keep up the illusion of a two-party run democratic state. Like, without you, I mean, even without you, they probably don't need you at all. I don't know why they bother. The most useful thing.
No, they need them to vote for the Republican Party. They need the illusion of two parties. Like they should. The best thing for conservatives to do is just stop voting entirely.
That's what I was going to say. That was the next thing.
Vote Democrat.
The best. No. The best thing ever would be the best thing ever that Republicans could do in November is either don't vote or vote Biden. Give Biden what America regards as like a despotic false election result where he gains like 95% of the vote. That would be the most effective. They'll never do that.
Give him like 100% of the vote and then like nobody will trust anything. Yeah, you know, it's actually the better plan, right? Not that it would ever work. The problem is like it's like they are again, if they were totally useless then there wouldn't be
like
an apparatus to like convince them of things and stuff. They're
people
there to
misunderstand.
Vote
people misunderstand me when
GOP.
I dunk on this stuff. People misunderstand me. I saw somebody shed a light on it over the weekend on Bang. Where they mentioned like morality. I was like, I'm not talking about morality. I'm not in favor of Ashley Babbitt having been shot. I'm not in favor of Catherine Marr running NPR. I'm not in favor of, I don't know, name your conservative injustice that you're all out. I'm not in favor of any of that. It's just that you're not going to get any, like the system is not moral. It doesn't care about your sense of morality. And most of all, it has no shame about it. You cannot shame the system into trying to do things. All you have to recognize that it's very powerful and it's set against you and it doesn't care what you think about it. And when you stick your head up, at best you're just putting a target on your back. At worst, you just look like an idiot. Like you just look like a crybaby. Like, yes, I understand. You should in a two-party state, you shouldn't have public funding for a media outlet that only services one side, but you know what? You can't stop them. And there's no moral arbiter you can take your grievance to. Like, they're going to go like, you know what? You're right, Mr. Rufo. We shouldn't have this one. We're sorry. This is undemocratic. They're never going to say that. Never. They're not going to see you crying and change their mind and change how they're ruling. It's not
but that's
happening.
Not, I feel like even that, though, is not entirely like the issue is like this is all a show. Like Rufo is not even trying.
Yes,
to
it's
do
all
anything.
A show, and
like,
you're like
Rufo
in the, you're
is
like
only
in
there
the show
to keep you on.
No,
the
no, no,
GOP
no, 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 no. Fuck that. Fuck that. Fuck that. No, Rufo is dumb, and he's doing this. He's not doing this. He is taken in. He is sincere. I'm not allowing any conservative to say they're.
Sure,
they're,
he is. Yes,
they're not. They're not play actors in the show. Okay. They are the outer party. They have no influence. They don't know what to do with themselves. Rufo is one. Rufo is not in on it. Rufo is a dupe, just like everyone else on the conservative bike. I refuse to believe.
He's in on it. What I'm saying is that's why he's there.
But he's not. No, you said it's a show. He's not acting in a show. He believes he's taking on the system and crying about Catherine Marr. Yeah. And he thinks that's going to work. And his followers will believe that's going to work.
Yes.
It's not.
Yes. That's it's the not. Whole point of it. Yeah. That doesn't mean it's real, though. That doesn't mean they're going. No, what I'm telling you is. So the question then is, if what you're saying is true, then why do these things exist? Like, why are they there? Well, they're there to keep people engaged on the GOP
side. No, they're
side
there because
they're there
because they believe television and movies. They believe that if you're just these people
are real.
You
don't understand what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
You're interpreting it wrong. Because my point is that, like, Rufo is not just some, like, loser that's crying.
Yes,
like,
he is.
He thinks that he's...
He absolutely is. Yeah, he's absolutely loser that's crying. Right. He thinks because he was used to get rid of Gay that he has clout, and he doesn't.
Yes, that's exactly my point.
It's
look,
not a
look.
Show. He means it. He means it, and he's not
he
going
to
get anywhere.
Yes. But why then? Why is he given institutional support? Like Paul Singer,
he has a Twitter account. He pays $8 for it. It's not institutional support. It's a Twitter account.
No. He works for the Manhattan Institute, which is funded by a Jewish billionaire, Paul Singer. Why?
I mean, why?
he believes what he's... No, like, I'm sorry. Like, if you're going to talk about the phenomena of Chris Rufo and you have an explanation for him, then it has to include everything. I'm telling you why. Yes, he's a loser that believes what he's doing.
Okay.
And yes, it's not going to do anything, but he is being...
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of The Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
Paid to be a loser that thinks he's doing something.
By Paul Singer.
Because it's useful for him to take people in so that they keep voting Republican, so they keep thinking the conservative establishment is fighting back when it's really not.
It's not.
And the whole thing is that, in fact, the decision makers, the people that actually decide how these things work, are Jews. And if anything, maybe there are some like white libtards that they have to wrangle with and negotiate with. But overall, ultimately, institutional priorities will be set by Jews.
I guess my feeling is I don't count conservative things as institutions. Like Paul Singer, if he's like he doesn't have institution, he has a Manhattan Institute. It's not respected.
It's one of the only things.
But it's not respected.
It's Jewish. The point is, it's all just Jewish.
It's Jewish, but it's like it doesn't have any pull with the people that run the country. Like it doesn't have real influence. It has influence within like Republican leaning.
Like, it depends on what we're talking about. Like they actually have influence when it comes to like tax policies and shit like that. And foreign policy, they have influence. Yeah, but that's just because they're neocons. And so they support like Jew stuff. So again, I think it's, you know, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. But I think there's a bit more to it just than like, you know, because why does Uri Berliner write his essay? Why does he go and talk to Chris Rufo? Why is this any of this even happening? And it's because they want to keep people that are mad about all this stuff engaged in something a fail. And that's why Rufo is there. Like I said to Christopher Rufo, Catherine Marr supports Israel. This is now the second time she has been brought on to be the head of a major liberal institution because she's a reliable. It's not an accident that this guy, we talked about the Web Summit thing. This guy, this other white libtard was running this thing called Web Summit. He goes and says, oh, the Jews are committing war crimes in Gaza. He gets forced out. Catherine Marr replaces him. 2 months later, and all these Jews are praising her. I found all these Jews all over Twitter praising her for replacing him and finally restoring some balance to Web Summit and this and that. 2 months later, this bitch is now the president and CEO of NPR. It's not an accident. It happens because of that. The lie that Chris Rufo tells, whether he knows the lie or not, whether he's taken in or not, is that it's not just Jewish priorities that rule and just Jews that ultimately make these decisions. He wants to pretend that, oh, there's this academic, like this horrible like bias that is going to be corrected. No. The one thing that might change in all of this is the Jewish situation on Gaza, and all of Christopher Rufo's activism, if it has any effect at all, is merely going to be to change institutional narratives on Jews like killing Palestinians, and that's it. Nothing else will be accomplished. Mm-hmm. And he can't accomplish anything else. That's why Claudine Gay was fired.
Right.
And I'm sure Rufo is going to make a big deal about Koffness getting fired. I'm glad Koffness was fired. Koffness should be fired. And I would say this. If you support – now, first of all, Koffness wasn't fired. It was very similar to Claudine Gay. Now, the difference is – that Claudine Gay was actually removed from Harvard and has no more influence in the institution. However, she still got to keep like some salary that she was getting for X number of years as part of the deal, right?
Yeah, like 900,000
Koffness wasn't like $900,000, right? Koffness was removed from student-facing duties, but he is still a research fellow at Cambridge. And the reason he was removed from student-facing duties is because everybody protested, and they said this guy wrote blog posts saying black people are stupid, and this goes against our inclusion policies. And they specifically objected to a thing he said, which was that, like, if not for DEI, there would basically be no blacks at any of these institutions. This is right. It's true. That is true. But that was in a blog post. It wasn't in any research he was doing for the college. So he wasn't using his position to, like, advance this type of research. No, he was using his position to do things like attack Kevin McDonald and to lie.
Yeah.
Because remember, so here's my thing. If you support Claudine Gay getting removed from her position because she was a diversity hire that lied, you should support Nathan Koffnis getting removed from his position because he's a diversity hire that lied.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan Koffnis did not deserve to be a research fellow at Cambridge. He's there because he's a Jew. He got ethnic privileges, yep. Just like Claudine Gay.
Yep.
They're the same type of person. Yep. She's an academic fraud. He's an academic fraud. It's the same thing. He should be removed. Now, the only objection I got was people saying, one guy really saying, yeah, but that wasn't why he was fired. And I was like, I don't care. The people that wanted Claudine Gay fired didn't give a shit about the reason. They were perfectly happy to tout that they got her fired based on an unprincipled thing. They wanted her fired because of the anti-Semitic shit or whatever the fuck, and they didn't get that, so they went and they found academic fraud. So they're not principled. Christopher Revo is not principled in this. These people aren't principled. Yeah. At least Stefanik isn't principled. Like, the real reason Claudine Gay was fired was because the Jews wanted her gone, but they claimed it was plagiarism. Bullshit. And everyone knows that. So, like, don't pretend like that you're honorable. Like, oh, no, the reason – no, the reason doesn't matter. It's just better that he's gone. Not only that. He's not a race realist. Nathan Koffnis is not a race realist. He's a liar.
He's just a
he
retard.
Says that.
Can't even
what's
speak.
That?
He's just a retard. He can't even speak.
Yeah, no, he's
a
borderline retard.
Moron.
Okay, now he might be able to write, but again, he shouldn't be a teacher because he can barely speak. So he's probably just relieved he doesn't have to do student facing stuff because he probably has like social anxiety and he can barely talk. But he's a liar. He lies and he says Jews aren't ethnocentric. And he only uses IQ stuff to say that Jews are only in their positions because of their IQ and not ethnocentrism. And when you say, like, but what about Jews that tell you they're all ethnocentric? He says, well, Jews might just be not telling you the truth about that. And I'm like,
yeah, that's what they lie about.
So
they
you're,
lie about being
no,
ethnocentric.
You're just a fucking liar. So you might be lying, yeah. Nathan. But it's also like, here's my thing, though. It's very important that people get this. Like, I will not extend to Nathan Koffnis the idea that he should have a job based on free speech when the real reason he has his job is that he's a Jew, right? So free speech isn't at play here. He got that job from being a Jew. He used it to advance Jewish shit to attack Kevin McDonald. If Koffnis believed in free speech, he should refuse to have published his paper attacking McDonald unless the journal agreed to also publish McDonald's rebuttal, which he didn't. He knew damn well that the fucking exact prohibitions on race realism or Jew realism or anything applied to McDonald, and therefore he could publish with no fear that a rebuttal would be published in the same journal and everybody would get a chance to see the debate. He knew that Kevin could only publish his rebuttal on a website that you could look at or not, depending.
He's not even on Twitter.
He could get that citation. Yeah, he was banned from Twitter. That he could get that citation because Jews had, like, a needed citation to refute McDonald's book. And now you get all these fucking neo-reactionary spurgs out there who he goes and he's all buddy-buddy with these fucking people, and they all pretend, like, his paper attacking McDonald was, like, good. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. In fact, it was terrible. McDonald destroyed it. You can go listen to the interview with he and I, like, from several years ago where we both talked about this. But you can also read the paper. You can read his rebuttal. Koffnis failed to even accurately restate Kevin's thesis. Like, it's just good that he's gone. Like, there's no free speech here.
No.
There's none. And I'm certainly not. It's the same thing saying you should support Israel because it's an ethnostate. No. Absolutely not. This is what I said on Twitter. I said this would be like a guy who goes out and rapes women, and you're like, I support him because it's at least heterosexual. You know, it's the same type of thing, right? It's at least not gay.
I've got James Lindsay. I must have missed this the first time he did it, but he presents a very cowardly argument for why you should get rid of critical race theory. It's so predictable, and it's right in line with the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
Lay it on me, brother.
Did you get the link? I fucking sent you the link.
Oh, I didn't know. Oh, I thought you were going to tell me what it was. I didn't know there was a link. Yeah, all right, okay.
Great, so I guess, but then I got to go pull it back.
All right. Anti-Semitism and critical race theory isn't an accident. It's what happens when terrible identity-based theory rooted in victimhood can't resolve real-world contradictions. And currently bears every unmistakable.
I fucking hate these people. You know what they're calling us? They're calling the woke right. I'm like, yeah, that's right. Actually, you know what? Unironically, yes. Because what they mean is, like, anybody that talks about race is just woke. That's wokeness. Talking about race is woke. Okay, so you want to be unscientific. But that's the funny thing. I don't actually think.
Let's see this statement. What it sounds like to me is, please, Jews, save us. Save us from the critical race theory because we can't fight it ourselves. It's bad for you. Trust us, it's bad for you.
Oh, they've been doing – they do that all the time. That's like the most – that's the most cowardly shit. And that's why also when – God, I only see these people get activated when some Jew is like leading the way.
I would love to pin this nigger down and make him unpack this statement and describe me in detail what he means.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something different.
It's what happens
I'm not talking – I'm saying I like to pin him down and just like – Get him in a sleeper hole or something.
I want you to hit me with it. Like,
Don't fight it.
Terrible identity-based theory rooted in victimhood can't resolve real-world contradictions. Who are you talking about? What real-world contradictions? Who is an identity-based theory that's rooted in victimhood?
Yeah, what about Jews?
Are you talking about Jews? Have you ever heard of the Holocaust?
Yeah, well, how
I mean, you're describing Jews to me.
You were describing
Jews to me. It's an identity-based theory rooted in victimhood that can't resolve real-world contradictions. That is Judaism. That is Judaism to an outsider looking at it. That's what they do. They cannot resolve
the... I got to also say, like, what the fuck does that mean, can't resolve real-world
I'm about to tell you.
What the fuck are you talking
about? I'll give
about?
You an example. They can't resolve being, like, anti-colonizer, but also, like, doing what they're doing, the genocide in Gaza. Like, that's a real-world contradiction. They've trained everyone in the world to be anti-white, to stick up for indigenous peoples when they're being genocided, but not in Palestine. There's a real-world contradiction that the victim-based identity theory can't resolve. The way you resolve it is by steamrolling.
Anti-Semitism in critical race theory isn't an accident. It's what happens when terrible identity-based theory rooted in victimhood can't resolve real-world contradictions, and it currently bears every unmistakable sign of being a threat to Jews everywhere. So, frankly, James, this little statement you're making here labors under its own premise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're now doing identity-based victim crying.
Well, yeah, because you're talking about Jews. You have to. They're identity-based victims.
Yeah, how is this itself not an identity-based theory?
Oh, my God. This was at the end of a lengthy... He has so many fucking tweets on this.
This guy is a fucking... Oh well, this is old though. This is from 2020. Damn.
Oh,
but still, it's worth it. It doesn't matter. It's the same shit. But it's funny because even in 2020, that just shows this guy's always worked for just Jews. Like, this guy's just a fucking shill for kikes. If he is saying that in 2020, when none of this shit was going on. With Gaza or any of that. So, I mean, Gaza stuff was going on, but, like, it was very well out of the news. And he's bitching about that in 2020? Fuck you.
Yeah.
So, is he reposting this?
I don't know how McNabb
he reposted it yesterday.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Saying, I said this back then, doing, like, look, I predicted these, like, doing, I predicted this. Like... But it's just like,
yeah,
this is, but it's interesting. Now, one thing he could claim is that, like, oh, look, I was prescient about, like, Jews coming under fire for, like, Israel stuff. I'm like, nigger, all you had to do is observe politics for the last, like, 25 years and you would know that because they've been coming under fire for Jewish stuff in Israel, like Zionism. Like, Jews have been attacked on the base. Zion, no, actually, what's funny is they lie because the people that do attack Zionism actually go the fuck out of their way, like very much out of their way to say this isn't about Jews, this isn't about Jews. What's interesting, though, is we're going to see, I believe, we are going to see a major shift in all of this, because the Jews that are willing to do that anti-Zionism isn't anti-Semitism, it's okay to criticize Israel, are basically getting fewer and fewer Jews are taking these Jew for peace positions. Like, they're all moving away from it. Mm. All, even these super, like I said, that woman that wrote that paper on like the endless privileges given to white girls, like tomboy worship being yet another what piece of white privilege and all this stuff. They were even saying, dude, this is something, even going back to that thing real quick. One of the theses of what this article was that like the gentle Victorian, like shrinking violet woman archetype was ended up being bad for reproduction because like birth rates dropped. So the tomboy archetype was invented so that white people could like make their women like a little tougher and more robust. And they started having more kids as a result.
What?
And so the whole thing is like white. Now, I don't know. I didn't look into it too hard. I just think that's it. But the thing is, my thing is like, okay, even if that's true, so what? Like, that's the thing. I don't even need to, like, let's say it is true that this, like, shrinking, violent, proper Victorian lady isn't having enough kids, so we like, try and get the women to be a little bit more active and tough so they get more kids. There's nothing wrong with that. Assuming any of it's true. Like, I'm against your idea that if you can prove that the whole purpose of tomboyism was to increase white fertility, that makes it bad.
And white fertility
like, I question all of it, but, like...
Well, the premise is that white fertility is bad. So
what I'm saying. That's the unquestioned assumption. So I'm just going to throw it in the trash based on that. Yeah. Like, although I find that the rest of your facts, because one of the problems is when they lie like this is people get baited into disproving what they're saying, but like in a way, like assuming that it would still be bad. Like, no, they're not doing it. In other words, like they take the premise that white people wanting to have more white kids or even some like social effort to increase fertility would be bad, and they just say that's not really what was happening. It was like some other thing. God, no, we would never do that, right? Like the right always does this in how they argue against these things. But even the woman that writes shit like that is now kvetching about like, oh, Jews are unsafe at Columbia University, and this is really bad. There's this bias against Jews, and we have to fight it. All this shit. And so like, there's going to be a shift. There's going to be a shift in this. Jews are. It's going to take them a while to do it, though. And I hope that they lose. Just because they're doing it doesn't mean they're going to succeed. They're fighting very hard against the anti-Zionism stuff, and it's all hands on deck. And like Jew for Peace groups and shit, all that stuff's gonna. That shit's going by the wayside. They're gonna mothball all that shit. It was useful for a while. It's no longer useful. But if in July 2020 James Lindsay is saying anti-Semitism and critical race theory, well. What he's doing is he's just leveraging white people being mad at critical race theory in 2020 and leveraging it for a Jew issue, which is to stop left-wing anti-Israel shit. And that's what Lindsay's doing, and that apparently has just always been his fucking job. Now, I think that James Lindsay is a fucking liar.
I think that that's true, because the guy is educated. The guy is not stupid.
Yeah, Chris Arufo is pretty midwit.
Borisov said something about, I guess James Lindsay has talked about Jews a little bit before. Like, he apparently knows.
He knows?
And then if you look at the people he has following his audience now, he's just sort of like got this congregation of retards.
Yeah.
And you know when he calls everybody a Marxist or a communist, you know he doesn't fucking believe that shit.
Yeah, that's just dumb. Like when he says that like the institutions are being run by communists, like that's just stupid. Like you're dumb. You know it's not true. Like even
that's for your audience.
The other funny thing is, yeah, you're just cultivating fucking morons at that point because you could even avoid the Jew issue and have a better explanation than that.
Cultivating right? Morons. Like that's what the right
could,
is for.
You could just say like managerial liberalism or something, but he says like communism because you're literally just pandering to the dumbest of the dumb rightoid. Like, you know, like.
Well, I just made a connection. I just found another piece of bent. It's like NPR is not cultivating morons, Christopher Rufo. That's why Catherine Marr is in charge of it.
Yeah,
because they're not cultivating.
Catherine Marr is like obviously some kind of soulless. Like she's literally
she's just a nice lady. She's just a nice lady that knows what to say. She's not hung up on like what the regime is doing is morally wrong. She doesn't care. She's like I'm part of it. I'm fun. I'm
I nice question I'm whether she's job. Nice.
she seems great to me. Like you met her at a potluck somewhere.
She,
you know.
She seems to be a reliable member of the regime that can be trusted to do what needs to
be done. She's just a fucking operative, yeah. She's an apparatchik. That's all
she is. She just knows how to signal. Apparatchik. If you said the kind of things that she says, you'd probably be better off in life. You'd probably get further. More opportunities. Or you can cry about Hunter's laptop.
But I would say only a certain amount of people could say the kind of things that she says and get ahead. And not only that, the kinds of things she says actively reduce the chances for more white people to get ahead based on saying those things.
I don't think so. I think they like white people in positions that require like someone be, you know, competent. As long as they say those kind of things, you know, that's sort of a sorting mechanism they use. Like you can be white and have a highly placed, in a good spot. If you say that kind of stuff,
they need to include in that sorting mechanism now, like screening you for shit on Israel, because this is one of the problems. Like, cause again, I also don't agree with the idea. And we actually talked about this a little bit on Friday. I disagreed, and DK admitted that, I was actually probably right on this, that the idea that like Jews, that it's like increased people of color that are why these organizations and stuff and these institutions are more anti-Zionist. And I don't think so at all. It's white liberals that hold the line on that. It's white liberals who are the ones that are principled and will not budge on the anti-Zionism things out of principle. Like you can just pay people of color and they'll change their position on it. You can just fire the ones that won't and just hire new ones because you can just be a mercenary. Like Claudine Gay was actually probably willing to change their position.
The point is, it's up to them, not conservatives.
Conservatives don't have any input.
It's not up to people that claim to be like dissidents or that claim to be an opposition. You're a false opposition. You're a bought opposition. You're a cowardly opposition. Yeah. The system has taken away all of your mostly peaceful means for making a change, yet you still operate as if that stuff's on the table. You still think you can just send people to Washington. You think you can wait till November. I mean, you're acting like they don't understand like the game's over already. For conservatives in America, the game is over.
This anti-woke shit will ever get will be for Jews based on Jewish things. White people will never. And what you'll do, Uri Berliner, like the Gaza stuff will happen. The dick pics and the cult, that will not. Right? Like
knowing like, about so he, that is he, like scarlet letter.
Right. But like I really think, you know, the thing is like why did Uri Berliner do what he did? Maybe he fucked up, but maybe he was also just doing tard wrangling. I don't know.
Was he Jewish?
Uri Berliner.
Yeah, Uri Berliner. Yeah, I mean that's why I don't discuss him, because he's a Jew. I'm not talking about Jews. Like you can't take Jews at face value. I don't know what they're up to. I'm talking about Rufo. I'm talking about the goyim that are involved in this stuff are cowards. Like I don't care what their Jewish handlers are doing. The point is you're fucking dancing to their tune no matter what you do. You need to stop.
Well, it's obvious because Rufo never would have mentioned her name would never have been put in his mouth if not for Uri Berliner. Like if Uri Berliner had never written his little like why I'm mad at NPR piece and like left in protest, like Rufo would never have even his radar never would have even focused in on Catherine Marr. He would never have said her name. He didn't know anything about her when he first started talking. The Gray Zone had an article about her from 2017 saying she's an intelligence operative. He then found it 6 years later. Because a Jew directed him, pointed him in the direction of this.
I think she's just very intelligent.
He's just.
I think that was all of us in the replies. They're like, shut up, dude. Like this, Grayson's been reporting about Catherine Moore forever.
That's like the high IQ NRX version of if you're an activist, you're a Fed. It's like, oh, this lady's like well traveled and educated. She's in the CIA and she's
that's
an intelligence
not,
operative.
Dude. The Gray Zone isn't an NRX site. It's a liberal site. Dude, like, Catherine Marr is, like, objectively worked for the State Department. That's not false.
Council of Foreign Relations.
Dude, she's a regime operative. That's the truth.
Why do you want to fuel conservative fucking, like, ops here. I'm trying to deflate them. Like, all this stuff is false.
No, but that wasn't their truth.
I don't care what the truth is. The truth.
She's some sort of like fucking Marxist or some shit.
The truth is conservatives don't get to fight or win, and they need to stop. That's the truth. I don't care what they objectively like stumble across that might be true. I don't care if she's an intel officer or intel agent. She works for the regime.
I care.
She might as well be. What do you care for?
She is inherently.
So what?
What do you mean? What do I care
for? She runs NPR.
Why do I care that? Why do I care about that?
She's going to make bad fucking like talk radio for like boring like upper class faggots. I don't give a shit. What I give a shit about is the Sturm und Drang. Like there's some way that these right wingers on that are going to stop it somehow. They're going to stop it, and they're all going to there's a funnel, and at the bottom of the funnel of all the things people say is like voting for Donald Trump. And what is that going to do? Where are you going to be in 2 years after that? In 3 years? In 4 years? The same place? Worse place than you are now? Because you never fucking learn. That's what I'm talking about. These fucking cowards.
But there's no reason to not just also like be accurate in what you're saying, because if you get it wrong, no one's going to listen to you.
Be accurate about what? That I don't care if she's an intelligence asset?
Okay, that's fine if you don't care. I'm just saying, like, well, the thing is, it proves your point, though. It proves your point that Christopher Rufo doesn't know anything. Okay. He had to get that information from either, like, Nazis or liberals.
Well, he doesn't know anything. It goes to the point that, like, the establishment is left-wing, if you want to call it that, and these people are just boxed the fuck out.
That's the
right.
best part.
And again, this is important, and I'm going to stick by this, and even if this makes you, like, you feel like it undermines your point, the only time they get a glimmer, a smidgen of influence, or even the phony idea that they're impacting things, is because it's what Jews want them to be doing.
Right, exactly.
It's because a Jew came out and said, I'm mad at Catherine Marr, and Chris Rufo is like, yes, Massa, like, allow me to please, like, bump your narrative, allow me to boost your tweets on this. And I'm like, and that's all. And so he comes out and he does that. And James Lindsay is also there probably doing this shit. And they're not going to change it. And like I said, the only thing you really need to say is Rufo. Catherine Marr is a Jew, is like an operative for like the Jewish regime. She's not going to be, you're not going to get her job, dude. Or she's not going anywhere.
Well, see, that's what you can do if you have establishment power. Is you can just have like a national radio network that basically goes around and propagandizes like the thing that you want to have disseminated to the masses. That's what you get to do when you have institutional power.
I would
instead of crying about defunding a network, why don't you think about
free market solutions. You know, when was it, 1987, 1988?
Free market solutions. Here's the problem, though. For conservatives, they're free market solutions. Their idea of funding their own networks, it's just like fucking shysters that gripped them.
I was going to say that the free market solution is their message isn't popular anymore. The free market's working. Like, there's there's like conservative talk radio that might as well not exist anymore. Yeah. It's over. It's all over.
But it's also...
The marketplace of ideas is spoken.
People would rather listen to NPR.
Why it's not popular, though, is because it's become like stupid and cringe.
Yes.
I mean, exactly. If the idea is bad, it's not going to be popular.
I mean, one of the funniest outcomes of the MAGA phenomenon is that other than Trump, MAGA candidates don't do well. And actually, like, RINO candidates do better. Like in elections. Now I know that elections are rigged. I don't know. Whatever. I don't.
Are they? Then why are we working so hard on the next one? If elections are rigged, why are we waiting with bated breath for the next one? Why are we so excited? Why is there so much energy?
Yeah, my point is like I've never believed election fraud stuff because I'm like no. The whole fucking two-party system is rigged so that the outcome of the election doesn't matter one way or the other. So like there's no reason to rig an election.
Just vet
like,
the people that are going to be subject to the election, so that doesn't matter who wins. Right. That's all.
The real process is the candidate selection before you ever get to the fucking ballot box. That's the real process and you have no input in that. And attempts to have input in that, you will find. You are slamming directly up against hard barriers that are very difficult to get over without tons of money and a national organization. Like getting somebody who's not a major party candidate on the ballot in all the states is doable, but you need to
you might already have
a big national organization like the Green Party, which is a big national organization.
Or a big international organization.
Very wealthy donors.
What's that? You might need a big international organization, and then you go find a billionaire, and you set him out there to like inflame... Yeah. Inflame a certain kind of politics that has been stamped down for decades and decades to try to gain an edge, and then it works.
Yeah. Look what but even if you're not, that was happening through the Republican Party.
Yep.
Even if you're going outside of it, like Bobby Kennedy, one, you need the name,
the famous Kennedy name,
and two, then you need to get somebody who was like the ex-wife of Sergey Brin and therefore like a billionaire in her own right to be your VP, so she can just give her personal money to the campaign without fucking around with any campaign finance laws. Cause if you're, she could just give her money to it. And so they can have, like, I think she gave like $20 million. Like that's going to, yes, $20 million probably could get you enough activists to go out and get you on a ballot, get you the signatures and whatever necessary to get on the ballot as president in a bunch of states. Right. So, you know, the barriers are just so fucking high. The point I guess we're making here is that, The whole purpose of that establishment, that Christopher Rufo anti-CRT thing, is just to hamster wheel you. It's just to get people on hamster wheels, and it's not. And their only accomplishments come at the behest of Jews. And it just makes me sick when I see people out there like mad about. I'm just like activated about this Nathan Coffness thing. Like when I see people out there who it's like, dude, if you go out and you spend any ounce of your time complaining about like lack of free speech at Cambridge University because of what happened to Nathan Coffness, like it would have been better time spent just like calling people kikes on Twitter. Like it's totally wasteful. And it doesn't, it's like, even if you manage to help, like let's say you became part of like an internet mob that like applied pressure to Cambridge and they like gave Coffness his position back. It would only ever apply just to him. And it wouldn't only be your pressure campaign. It would also be like backroom Jewish deals and shit.
It's not like Coffness is the thin edge of some wedge. It's going to.
Just a Jew. That's what I sort of object to about this whole thing. He's not. It's not like getting Coffness back in and then like a cascade of events happens where like free speech and academic integrity is restored. No, he just gets his job back. And then he just gets to like say like, oh, Cambridge fellow attacks this dumb guy that wrote this anti-Semitic book, and wow, he totally owned them, even though nobody ever reads the paper. They just say like, yeah, look at that, that was debunked. Look, a guy from Cambridge debunked it. Look at that, McDonald was from like Long Beach University in California, debunked by Cambridge. That's the whole reason Coffness even fucking exists. He's a diversity hire. Nathan Coffness has his job for the same reason Claudine Gay had hers, because of his race. He didn't earn it. And so he should be gone. Fuck him. Yeah. I'm glad these libtards got him out. I'm glad these libtards are fucking raising hell at Columbia University. I'm glad Jews are crying, and yeah, boy, are they fucking
I missed Columbia
crying.
University.
Holy
what's going on at Columbia University? Protests out of control?
Well,
I missed that.
Right, they got a crackdown over there because people are getting out of control, so we're going to do an unprincipled thing. We're going to selectively crack down.
Is this where Laura Loomer got smacked in the face? Where she lied about
no,
it. Is that a different
that
protest?
Was, that was in Manhattan. That was just on that Palestine day of unrest. It was just
a
Palestine.
I got a video of a rock ribbed and big titted Republican creature going after the, I guess, what is this, the new president of Columbia?
Right. So this is what I wanted to mention, that they brought the first round of anti-Semitism hearings. In Congress, the Arab woman, I forget her name, who is the president of Colombia.
Yeah, and she's just like a neoliberal Egyptian, like.
Well, right, and she, I think her husband. No, I'm not going to say because I'm. She's got. I was going to say I think her husband's Jewish, but I'm not actually sure that. That's something
she worked for like
a
bunch of banks, right?
Yes, she's another regime apparatchik. But the thing is that very early on in this controversy after October 7th and when Jews started kvetching about the campus activism and stuff, she banned Students for Justice in Palestine from Columbia University's campus. And this was widely praised by Jews as like a major step against anti-Semitism. And because of this, she was allowed to skip that hearing. Now, the claim was that she had some other engagement that weekend. She had to go deliver some speech someplace, right? But they didn't. They let her not go, and they let her honor her other agreements or whatever, her other date, because she had done this thing for them that they liked. So what she said was like, they're banned, and if they want to, they're not allowed to organize on campus. If they want to have a demonstration on campus, they need to get a permit and apply for it like 10 days ahead of time, which would then give the Jews all the time they need to set up a big response to it, right? To set up some kind of big thing. So she gets called into Congress. What's that?
Wait a minute. She's also known as Baroness Shafiq. It's the Baroness.
Right, right.
It's a good band. Actually, not really.
Yeah.
I just like
so
purple.
She got called into Congress last week. And
for
I didn't,
a struggle session.
Yeah, for a struggle session. I didn't watch it, but I get, apparently they're saying,
you know,
it's not good enough.
About all this? It's like, she just happened to be the one holding the reins when all of this happened. It's not like she's some sort of pro-Palestinian, like,
she's not
like
at all. She banned,
activist.
She banned Students for Justice from Palestine. My question is, did these protests erupt on Columbia to coincide with her going into Congress? Because I wouldn't be surprised if the leftists or if the students or whatever the groups did this to protest that, and I think they did like a sit-in. They like camped out on the green there, like they brought tents in and they camped out, and they had like an ongoing thing. And John Poteritz is on Twitter like saying like, dude, call in the fucking National Guard.
J-Pod is a fucking ghoul. He's disgusting.
Yeah. No, it's and I'm just like any and again, this is all activating the James Lindsays and the Christopher Rufos of the world.
You know what?
Like, this is what really disgusts me about these conservative people. This is what really disgusts me about them is all of their shit is just a thin veneer that is covering for just a bunch of Jewish Zionist crap.
Do you know what they're saying about, well, I didn't mention in my objections because of your objections, but when they were saying that Marr was an intelligence asset, was it Catherine, Kathleen? Well, I can never get that straight. Yeah. You know what they were saying about her? What they were saying, they weren't just saying she's an intelligence asset. They were saying that she was like a fucking double agent for like international, like Islamic fascism.
Yeah, that's retarded. If
that's what I mean, like she's not
100% retarded.
Dumbest fucking shit I've ever heard.
That's what
that
they were
is
saying.
Absolutely fucking dumb. Wow. Now, she's an intelligence operative. Now, the thing is, when you say intelligence operative, I don't even know what she is that she objectively worked for the State Department. Mm-hmm. One of the things she worked with them on was like countering so-called misinformation. And according to the Gray Zone, she was also working for them on information campaigns related to like color revolutions and stuff. They called her a regime change operative. So it's actually like
that
the fucking
sense.
Direct opposite. The direct opposite of what these retards are saying. She's not an intelligence. These people think that there is like Islamic infiltration into the U.S. government. Fucking retarded. It's not true. And the reason you think that is because that's what Jews tell you so that you go and form a dumb retard mob.
Stuff goes
in their
a long
cars.
Way. And these are self-styled, very smart people. These are educated folks. They think they're onto something. They found the representative of the caliphate.
Yeah, Catherine Marr is a liberal woman that like did very well in college and made her way up the academic ladder and got jobs in powerful institutions based partly on her ideology and partly on her like success and who she was, right? And so now she's there at the top of these institutions, having already put in her time and done her like grunt work in these same institutions, like working for the State Department. Okay, wow, that's a perfect credential for working for NPR as a CEO. Like, that's exactly what I would expect that a former State Department, like, disinformation countering person would then become CEO of NPR. Like, that's just exactly what I expect from this regime.
She worked
at
an NGO called the National Democratic Institute, which, of course, is some sort of cutout for, like, U.S.
It's a
intelligence.
Fucking kike regime change operation. Yeah that
Atlantic
actually is,
Council.
Dude,
all
yeah,
that
dude,
shit.
It's, yes, she's just a fucking, she's just one of them. There is no way in hell this woman is some kind of like stalking horse for Palestine or Islam. Get the fuck out of here. If they're saying that, then they are utterly retarded, like stupid. And of course, the thing is, I'll tell you one thing she's going to say, though, to them that's going to make them think that because they're dumb. They don't understand how things work. She's going to say, look, it's important that we don't have anti-Islamic bigotry in America.
Yeah.
And that's going to make them, oh, duh, see?
There it is.
Like, she says that for a few reasons.
Rumor, real fast, rumor about the CIA thing is because she apparently has been to Tunisia multiple times with different affiliations.
Yeah.
Which is a bit fucking odd.
Or not.
That's
odd,
a little strange.
If she's actually a spy. Like,
man, I really love Tunisia. It's just a wonderful place.
Well, she spent a lot of time in a number of places overseas that are Islamic. Yeah. That's what they say.
That's what
I saw.
And she studied Arabic in...
Yeah.
That actually does indicate that she probably is a fucking spy. She studied Arabic in Lebanon.
It's not like she was over there to be like an Islamo-fascist. She's like trying to undermine some sort of government or something.
She's over there. Literally has Osama bin Laden's dick in her butt, and she came home with it. She smuggled it in.
No. She's over there pushing, like, essentially American... Zog interests in the region, like on the diplomatic level, which is why she learned that language and why she's over there operating.
Conservatives are so cowardly and they're so stupid and they're so easily played like a fiddle. This fucking anti-Arab, anti-Islam, like racism goes so far and it works so well that they're willing to just like you throw aside what else could she possibly be doing in those regions. Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, therightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded. We have no sponsors. We have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions, create an account, create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure, so you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks, or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you. Actually runs our foreign policy. Whose interest is it really to have all these Islamist or Arabic regimes fucking like overturned and changed in something more democratic that we can work with? And like, who actually benefits from all that? And are they in charge? And who's she really spying for? Like, they can't get around that. It's like, oh no, she's got to do more 9/11s. It's like, well, who actually did 9/11, my friend?
Yeah, and it's just
the dancing Tunisians. The dancing awfuls.
Do they understand? Like, again, it also shows they just don't understand how actual power works.
They don't even know who's in power.
They don't understand.
They don't understand how power works. America, they think they can cry and get some of it. That's what I keep saying. Like,
America,
they think that
America, Jews, Zog, the establishment, in order for them to press their interests in the Middle East, they don't just like threaten to bomb people. Right. They have people go to Lebanon and learn Arabic. And learn and like make connections and contacts with people over there and like press the interests of their thing. That's what government states and powerful people do. They have operatives that go to the other places where they want to have influence. Do that. Conservatives are like, if you learn Arabic in Lebanon, you have to like love Islam. And I hate Islam. Okay, well, this is why you don't have power, because you don't understand how it works. You think that like just having bombs and missiles, which you don't understand how they operate because you're too dumb to know science. And so you think that means bombs aren't real.
Bombs aren't even real. What are you talking about? They could even plot a course for a sortie because the earth is flat.
No. Nukes aren't real. Nukes are just big bombs.
Oh. Okay. Well, bombs are just big.
Bombs are big bombs.
That's bombs true. Are just big, like, constitutional principles that you drop on people for democracy.
Bombs are just small nukes.
Oh. Wow. Whoa.
Actually,
they do give off a form of radiation. It's just, it's like heat, right?
It's
like,
yeah, it's a lot of, yeah.
I'm trying to think of anything else edgy and not productive, well, I can say.
So what do we got?
Let's watch this video.
All right, let's watch this video. It's going to make me mad. She's going to make my eye hurt.
It's going to be that fat bitch, Elise Stefanik, right? She's going to go at her.
She's got her titties hanging out.
Oh, all right. Okay, I'm in. This guy doesn't have any titties.
Let me ask this question.
All right.
No.
As the chair of the School of Arts and Sciences Academic Review Committee, Professor Massad is responsible for...
Professor Massad?
Wait, Professor who?
Is he an intelligence asset? Who's he working
Professor
for?
Professor Massad.
Professor
is
Massad.
Professor Massad an operative?
Committee, Professor
worst
Massad.
Worst X-Men show ever.
Committee, Professor Massad.
Is that the show title? Professor Massad.
The Professor Massad is responsible for, quote, overseeing the periodic review of all departments, centers, and institutes.
Yes, that's actually right.
In the
Professor
school.
Massad is responsible
for oversight and review.
The periodic review of all departments. Yes.
Do you stand behind Professor Massad remaining chair of the Academic Review Committee, giving his support for terrorism and harassing Jewish students?
Wait. Professor Massad is harassing Jewish students? What's going on here? Obviously. What is he? His double agent?
Of the Academic
is
Review Committee
Arab
giving
Massad
his
like
support
oh, okay.
for terrorism and harassing Massad. Jewish students.
Congressman Walberg, I just want to confirm that when faculty behave in any discriminatory fashion at Columbia...
You talk to them.
There are consequences. No. We take them out of the classroom if necessary. We
is he out of the classroom?
From leadership posts if necessary. We allow students to leave those classes if they feel at all uncomfortable.
Is he out of the classroom?
He is. I believe to answer your question, he is no longer chair of that committee and does not
Dude,
have a leadership
these
role.
Fucking conservatives. Who is this fucking butt goy? Is this a Republican? These people are sitting here like these
what
fucking
say,
people
Mr.
are
Wall
sitting
something?
Here demanding professors get fired.
I can't see
God,
what his name
for
is
for offending Jews. Like fuck you.
Where were we?
He is. I believe to answer your question, he is no longer chair of that committee and does not have a leadership role. Just to follow up,
so
you should know
just
this.
To clarify real quick.
So he's a Massad he's without portfolio?
He's talking about a guy named Joseph Andoni Massad, who is a Jordanian academic in the Middle Eastern Studies Department. He teaches modern Arab politics and history of Middle Eastern, South Asian, and African studies at Columbia. His academic works focus on Palestinian, Jordanian, and Israeli nationalism. He's a Palestinian Christian descent, PhD in political science from Columbia in 1998. And so he apparently was, you know, a chair of some academic department or something like that. What's funny is he's actually, on some level, he is a remnant of, like, previous Jewish operations to get, like, Palestinians that take the like he's probably an Edward Said or Muan Rabbani type. Like this gets complicated, but again, because conservatives don't understand how power works, they don't understand why Jews might have an interest in promoting a class of like Palestinian academics for their own reasons in America. But it's just like he's not willing to just like bend the knee to them, and so he's out there protesting and doing that with the students, I guess, and he's going to get fired for it.
This
so.
Conservative blowhard is going to take out a fellow Christian like that?
Yeah, yeah. Here you have a guy who's going after an actual Christian.
Just to follow
these
up, you should know
to
this.
Just pretend like Palestinian Christians, just, there's no such thing. They're just like, there's all Muslims. No, it's not true.
Just to follow up, you should know this, President Shafiq, but Massad is still, in fact, listed on the Columbia website as chair of the Academic Review Committee. Are you aware of that? I would need to check that. I don't want to misstate because he hasn't been removed as chair. I would like to.
Listen
do you
to
have
them
my commitment?
Trying to like fucking trip this woman up with like obvious like hectoring and badgering and like. It's also like, why is she accepting the premise that this Massad guy has to go? Fuck you. Yeah, he's
moved
still.
His chair today.
Fuck off.
I have my commitment that I will come back to you and give you the facts. So first. He hasn't been removed. So you said in front of Congress under oath that I am not sure he was removed.
I hate this fucking bitch.
Well,
so
I'll tell
much.
You what, he's still listed on chair. Let me.
These fucking, you know, these people suddenly get so goddamn activated because some professor is like upsetting some fucking whiny kikes. Fuck off. Fuck you, you fat fucking
Damn,
stupid
she's only
bitch.
39?
Elise Stefanik?
Yeah.
Well.
She looks kind of rough for 39.
How old is Catherine Marr?
Being a Jew show will do that to you. She's just fat. She's just fat. You can never be Monica Lewinsky, Elise. You'll never attain that level of fat broad in Washington. She, you know. But so, yeah, nah, like
what is this hearing that they're having?
It's the same thing that they it's the same hearing, it's the same type of hearing that they used to get like Claudine Gay fired and Liz McGill fired from Penn. Like, it's just bringing the president of an Ivy League college in, so, grilling them on what are they doing to fight anti-Semitism and trying to trip them up and create pretenses for removing them.
So the Republican House can hold these hearings to stop these anti-Semitic so-called Ivy League, no, whatever, administrators. But yet, for as far back as I can remember, going way back into like all the Republican majorities we've had, going back to like 08, 2010, whatever it was. I don't remember when they retook it after 06. Nothing but like on-campus SJWs. What, did they have any hearings about on-campus SJWism? All the anti-whiteness?
No, they've never had a hearing about anti-whiteness.
All the normal people shit that went on in campus? No, never. Why did they ever do that? Like, what are you doing, Republicans?
They've never had a single hearing like this about discrimination or attacks on white people.
A hearing like this is a great opportunity to grandstand and cry about things that you don't like. You could use your hearing. You could cry to the imaginary moral authority that doesn't listen to you about these issues, would maybe get somebody somewhere else to do something, because since you don't,
they're
going
to listen, though. This is the thing. They're listening to this. Like, I'm not trying to like fuck with what you're saying, but like,
can't you just attack Republicans? Why can't you just attack Republicans?
I am. It's even, here's my thing. It is even more of an attack on Republicans when I say the only time you ever get anything is when you're kissing Jew ass.
Right, but when they do that,
that's
they're
what's
not
happening here.
But that's not the imaginary moral authority. That's the actual moral authority of the country. Is the point I'm trying to make? Like, crying about SJWs on campus is a plea to an imaginary moral authority that thinks like things have to run on principle and constitutionality and democracy. Like, no.
Right.
We're crying to our Jew leaders now because these people are being anti-Semitic. Like, that's when they're crying
exactly
to an actual authority.
I don't support, like, in principle, supporting Nathan Kaufman's.
Right. Right.
Because in principle, there's no such thing as fucking
free speech.
No one
cares about your principles.
It's just power.
Right.
And like, Nathan Kaufman isn't there for free speech. He doesn't support free speech. He doesn't advance free speech. He doesn't advance these things. So for me to use my efforts, my voice, to go out and like support him and become part of like an online mob or a pressure campaign for him to get his job back, I'm just being a fucking chump. You're just being a chump. He's in that position, what will he do? He's going to write another paper attacking valid research about Jewish behaviors. And not advance free speech, not get a single white person hired that has like the kind of racial views that he has about blacks. Has he ever? He's never done anything like that.
Nothing.
And so these conservatives that coon for fucking their kike masters in these hearings, that's what they're doing. They're cooning. They're just fucking cooning for Massa. Like, Elise Stefanik might as well be put on fucking blackface and do a fucking jig. That's what she's doing. Like, she is just out there fucking cooning. Now, the thing is, she's going to try and trip this woman up on some little fucking technicality that can be used where they can pretend that's why they're really firing her. What they want is this guy, Joseph Mossad, gone. They want a bunch of these other people gone. There's a few, like, standards and things like that that they need to defeat, as well as they need to override internal politics of these institutions. But that's the only time Jews – I said this. The only time these fucking conservatives are going to get the appearance of a win on their anti-DEI shit is if it benefits Jews and if it's for Jews. And that's why they even get these hearings. Why don't you hold these hearings, drag these people in, trip them up on all the anti-white stuff they blatantly promote? Like, it's just open. They openly attack whites. They have books, papers, classes that are openly just racially attacking white people. You could easily bring them in and be like, yo, explain this shit. How the fuck does this, how are you getting away with this? Like, it should be illegal under the 14th Amendment to do that shit. But they do it, and they have never even considered calling such hearings. Maybe in the course of an election campaign, one of them will pay some lip service to such things so you get activated and go and vote for them so they can help Jews.
Yeah. That's what's happening right now.
That's the reality of the GOP.
That's the reality
of... And that's
of
why I don't give a shit. I am happy, and I don't care. I'm sure some of these people protesting at Columbia, like, hate white people or whatever. I don't give a fuck. they're out there. I saw Falk was saying this, like, that the whole thing is actually, like, because Jews, like, stirred up anti-whiteness, and this is because Israel is, like, coded as white. I don't agree with that at all. Like, no offense to Falk.
Falk is terrible on this issue. You just have to take it. Like,
yeah, I'm not. He also does the thing of, like, they're just doing anti-partisan warfare in Gaza, and that's just what happens. Now, he's doing the bit of, like, I'm not going to help them. I'm laughing at them because they're getting hoisted on their own petard, and I think that's funny, and fuck Jews. He's doing that, so he's not trying to help Jews. But I just
I saw him say that, like, the Jews' war in Gaza is totally justified. That's what I saw him say.
Oh, really?
They have the right and the ability, and it's good. It's morally just that they're wiping these people out because they're a problem.
I didn't see that. What I saw him say was something like, that it's just like it's like the what they're doing is like the inevitable result of anti-partisan warfare, and they took that kind of stuff and used it against Nazis, and so I'm just laughing that it's getting used against them now. LOL. And he was saying the same stuff about these Columbia protests, saying like, well, you whipped up the anti-white stuff, now you're getting it back, LOL. I don't actually agree with that. What I said this last week too. I said I think that really what's happening is that actually, people support Palestine across the spectrum. It's not only anti-white people that do it. And they support Palestine across the world. And I think it's something – I think it's because of basic, like, human decency. And the only reason that there's any connection to the anti-white stuff is because the lies that Jews told about the Nazis and about white people say that white people are evil monsters that do these things, and therefore they whip people up against us. But then they're just actually doing it. So if you tell people that, like, hey, people are indiscriminately slaughtering another ethnic group, people will be like, wow, that's wrong. That's bad. You shouldn't do that. And so the anti-whiteness is like they need to lie about white people, but then they actually do it. So you see what I mean? It's like people actually just don't like when people do this kind of stuff. It's not that, like – and you don't actually see the whole Israel is white thing. I see conservatives say that more than I see leftists say that. I see conservatives say the leftists are angry because they're white more than I see the leftists say we're angry because Israel is white. In fact, you don't really see that very much. You do see it. I'm not saying you don't, but I see that far more often as a conservative way to try and get you behind Israel than the other way. I think it's just human decency. I mean, that's why I support Palestine. It's just basic human decency. And Jews lied about whites, saying they're indecent, they're bad people, they're awful. Look at what they do. They do genocides and killings. But that wasn't true. So, you know, it's even the anti-white stuff is just based in lies.
Right.
Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I don't know where else I was going to go with that.
I don't remember where you're going to go either.
Yeah. Oh, you're not in my head. How could you remember? Can't remember what I was thinking to myself.
Hopefully towards a break.
Yeah, we're almost
We can take a break at this time if we want to. But we can keep going with this.
Well,
we can keep going with this. But yeah, I think this theme is, you know, I think we're basically on the same page.
Oh, I was going to, that's where I was going to. Again, talking about like the all the anti-Semitism, all the criticism of Israel that's going on Twitter that's being sort of unleashed. It's being fanned by even like Charlie Kirk is doing some stuff here and there, and Alex Jones, segment of this, these supposed like outsiders looking in Republicans. I mean,
they're trying to gatekeep a bit but it's not really, I don't think it's
well,
really
they're just
working.
Pointing, they're just pointing it all towards Donald Trump, which is probably just going to be all out like war. With Iran, be hot war support of Israel. Like, basically, like Trump beat a real red heifer. He's not going to be sacrificed. He's going to be elected. And he's going to get in there, and then they're going to be able to do this. They're going to be able to build whatever, as many temples as they want. Tremendous temples right on the water's edge here. It's going to be beautiful. Be tremendous.
So many temples. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I came in. There were so many temples.
So,
yeah.
It's kind of insane. I mean,
I legit saw again. I don't know if he's saying this now. I saw on Twitter somebody sharing.
But it doesn't really matter what he says. It's the aura of.
I'm not talking about Trump, though.
Oh, sorry.
I saw videos of Fuentes saying that like Trump is like turned against Israel, or somebody saying, I didn't watch the video, someone saying Trump has turned against Israel, and then there was a video of Fuentes. And I didn't watch the video, but I was like, I guess maybe I should have, but I can't. I find him unpleasant to listen to, so he's did it. But like, if that's a message that's being put forward by him, like that is wrong.
Well,
and that's a lie.
He never,
and you shouldn't believe it.
Well, he never got off the Trump train, and it's for a good reason. I mean, that's why he's endured the ridiculous like blows to his reputation the last couple of years with Ali Alexander and stuff. It's to stay connected to the Donald Trump thing, and it's because that's what that section of the so-called dissident right is for. It's for this Likudnik effort to get Trump back in there to complete this cycle, to complete this.
I think it's very important that it not work.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know where it's going to go in November. I don't know. All I know is it's not going anywhere good for us. I mean, the fucking Speaker Johnson this aid package over the weekend is like, I can never stop. Like, why do I have to be so right all the time?
Well, yeah, no, this is like, we're totally vindicated on this. Like,
reading
this
reading the butthurt tweets from like the more like libertarian leaning members of Congress, like Massey and stuff.
But
I'm like, fuck you.
What I don't get, we should just talk about it when we get back. Yeah, like, I don't understand how they can pretend. I'm almost like, are you faking?
They didn't know this
was going to happen?
They have this, we'll get him next time, like, mentality. It's like, no, you won't. You said that the last five times. You're never going to get him. You're not going to get him anytime. And they're not asking you. Anyway, you're right. Let's take a break. Let's go have some lunch and regroup when we're back. Well, that would have been ugly. The bumper would have been super loud if I didn't catch that. But I caught it. We'll be back in a few.
You are listening to The Daily Show Up. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la!